This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Daryl Morey, you know him, Rockets producer, with us on ESPN 97. That's just it. We're not going to call it GM anymore. You're the producer, okay? You put this whole thing together.
What's dramaturg.
Of course, you don't want to be the producer because that's $2.2 billion, right? That one costs a lot more than a play, I'm sure.
I'm trying to get the reference.
Well, you put the money up. Tillman put the money up, didn't he?
Yes.
Tamari Cooper is with us in studio as well. She's the co-director of Small Ball. Let's talk a little Rockets basketball, though, right now.
Tamari can talk Rockets as well as I can.
Yeah. I think we need to leave it to the experts.
This has been...
We'll kick off NFL draft talk here. So
this has been... is this even unbelievable to you?
Oh,
what's going on?
For sure, yeah. We're just like in the Small Ball show where they decide to attack Michael Jordan with arrows. I'm trying to figure out where the arrows are going to come because right now things are going well. So my job is to sort of anticipate what problems may come up. So we're working on our execution at end of games, even though we haven't faced a lot of that. So we're
I actually Dell brought it up and I agreed with him. The one thing that I think is a concern is sometimes when you do have those last 2 minute situations, we have seen some reverting back to old bad habits of stalling ball and late in the clock before you get into plays, but you really haven't faced a whole lot of, you haven't needed to. Does that concern you at all?
Yeah, we're winning by 10 or more average.
Well, I guess you'd rather do that.
Yeah, no, but the coaching staff, I mean, we have an incredible coaching staff and it's not like I need to be in there telling them. They're on top of these things and talking about end of game execution and which rotations work the best against certain lineups. So that's what we're working on now is how to keep ourselves sharp, how to work on those things that are going to come up in the playoffs more than they are right now.
I'm a firm believer that the reason that, well, there's more than one. You can't just say one. I mean, James is number one. But beyond that, you did something really interesting with this. After last year and the way it ended, I just thought, well, I don't see any way this team is going to make this kind of run. And you made some small, Chris Paul wasn't small, incredibly important.
He's smaller. But
yeah. I think two moves that you made that were really important was Bamute and P.J. Tucker. And they allowed you, along with Trevor Ariza and really Gerald Green as well, you have multiple switch defenders now. You have athletes with length who Golden State is a switch-oriented team. So are you guys. But you can defend it now. Where in the past, was that intentional? Were you intent? Because you've even pointed out, hey, we're going after Golden State. That felt like a Golden State related move.
Yeah, it was very intentional. And the other thing with both PJ and Emba is we thought Pat Beverly was a guy who just did all the dirty work and all that kind of stuff. And we felt like we had to give him up in the Chris Paul deal, but we felt like we needed another guy who did all the little things, the dirty work. And if you watch PJ or even Emba closely, I mean, both these guys are just flying everywhere. Even yesterday, there was a play where there was a breakaway, and PJ just did a little arm shiv to like knock it, so they couldn't get over to Clint, who dunked the ball. But absolutely, we felt like the only way to play Golden State is through switching. We needed guys who can switch multiple positions, and we needed guys who are ready to win now because we knew that our window was going to be immediate with this group.
Daryl Morey is with us here along with Tamari Cooper in studio on ESPN 97.5. What about minutes now towards the as you go down the stretch here?
Yeah, no, I think coach is really going to mix and match guys, try and keep guys from playing back-to-backs, but still have them out there and be sharp. So when you play 30, 35 minutes, but then give them a night off here and there. So that's the idea. Obviously, we still got to clinch the one seed. I think our magic number is 3. But we should hopefully take care of business and do that. And then it'll be about, getting ourselves set up for the playoffs.
We've been talking about this a lot, is where this Rockets team ranks. And that's for us to do on talk radio. But comparing leagues, we talked about this quite a bit. There are really good teams in the league, and there are great players, and this may be the best time ever for players. But what about for teams? What do you think about? There's a lot of really bad teams in the league right now.
Well, I think there's just a general awareness in the league of what you need to optimize for when you're not a good team. And I think, you know, that's why you see lots of young players out there. Like, you know, yesterday Atlanta obviously was putting a lot of players they hope could be part of their team in the future, but, you know, weren't really part of their rotation most of the season, trying out a bunch of D-League players. So I think the teams that know they're out of it are doing a lot of that, which is like just focused on the future, and that often leads to some, you know, maybe not great play down the stretch. So yeah, I do think the teams near the bottom are a little bit maybe worse to people's eyes than people, but those teams are doing, they're like, if we were that bad, we would be very focused on just development just like they are. So
well, tell the truth now. Les Alexander's gone.
Which part did I lie?
Well, Les Alexander's gone. One of the reasons that I think you're a good general manager is you've been able, I don't think, when you lost Yao and Tracy at about the same time, that's like a house depreciating, because you can always trade assets. You might trade them for 70 cents on the dollar, but you can always trade assets. You lost assets. You somehow got a first out of Tracy. You got nothing for Yao. So you lost that asset of your salary cap, and it kept hitting you while he was still on the cap. And you somehow were able to rebuild to a point that you got a number one in James. Was there ever a point, Les Alexander didn't want to tank. A lot of teams tank, especially nowadays. Was there ever a time that the analytics side of you just said, look, the only way we're going to get great is if we get great players. The only way you do that is you have to be terrible at some stretch. Did you ever want to do that, but Les said no?
We talked about it. I mean, it was the key offseason was the year when we traded Lowry out to Toronto for that reverse protected pick. We were at a real crossroads there. And the reality was, we were going to have a bad season. That was the offseason we traded for James as well. We were going to have a bad year. I mean, I had prepared the owner at the time for us having a down year. But the reality was, we never – to basically tear it all down, because we were actually a pretty good team. We were about a 500 team, even losing – with Lau, even losing those players – we weren't going to be able to – it wasn't going to be easy to trade our way into setting up a really bad year like you're talking about. So I like to win. The owner at the time liked to win. So we ended up taking this sort of in-between route and obviously had the assets when James became available and he became available, which was somewhat unexpected. So we managed to avoid it. But almost always, in fact, there's really actually never been a team that never dropped below 500 between their sort of eras and then went on to be as good as we are right now. So it almost always takes at least one bad year historically.
So who's had a tougher job, you or Jeff Luhnow?
Jeff does an amazing job, yeah, so I don't even know. Yeah. He'd have to tell you.
He's got to put together 25 guys. You got to put together 8, 9, right?
It's tougher easier than that. Like,
tougher than that. Okay.
Time intensity, probably him, although he has a much bigger staff, too. He's a great staff.
He had 300 lost seasons, but he got to build it through the draft with high draft picks. You couldn't do that. You couldn't do that because your owner wouldn't let you do that. But there's only one team that goes out of the East every year, and it's whatever team LeBron is on. And Golden State is so good, you got to get through them. Different guys win in baseball all the time. Which is it tougher to win in baseball or basketball?
I mean, I think they're both. I mean, both leagues have 30 to 32 teams, and only one gets to win. So they're both hard. I'm just jealous of Jeff. He did an amazing job, and I'm hoping to get where he is.
Did you go to any of the games?
The Astros game last year? Yeah.
I
didn't make any of the playoff games that were bad.
Oh, you
did? Time for us, but I did go the regular season.
That was a lot of fun.
How do basketball analytics and baseball, the sabermetrics of baseball, you know, every individual play is graded plus or minus. And so even if you're winning by 7, you want to have success as a pitcher or hitter. Do you think basketball and baseball, in terms of the way analytics run those sports now, do you think it's similar or what are the big differences?
I mean, baseball's been just going for longer. I mean, late 70s is where it really took off, and then obviously we're a few years later for all of us here. Basketball really didn't really take off till the late 90s, so we're about 20 years behind in the development, and then, you know, the small ball island that's trying to get out there, They're just getting started. They do have a director of analytics on the island. Just so you know, yeah, yes.
They have a director.
It's the wife of the king, and it creates a lot of tension in their relationship. Actually,
is that a
focus? He's all about passion, you know, yeah, and energy, and she's like,
is that a focus on the in the musical? They have that actual.
They do, yeah. They may be discovering new formula and new numbers on the island. So it's. It's a big part of the plot. So
where do you get tickets?
Smallballmusical.com.
Smallballmusical. Yeah. But and there aren't many left.
There are not many left. A couple of days sold out on the run, and the most of the days only have a few tickets left. So if you jump out there, you can get them now.
I would just say too that this is a really funny show, and you know sometimes when I do some of our shows, they're a little more unusual, and I'll have a guy come up who's like, oh my God, my girlfriend or my wife was telling me I had to go to a musical. And I was just like, oh no, I don't want to do this. But this was so fun and this was crazy. And I would put this in the same category.
Yeah, it's funny and it's about basketball and it's about, you know, it's got a love story. It's got something for everybody, John. Even your cold Grinch heart would maybe like Small Ball Musical.
You're a mean one. How many does it seat? How many does the theater seat?
It's about 120.
120.
Yeah, that's why we don't have any tickets.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, which is big, by the way, for theater productions. A lot of times, it's actually depending on the theater you're in. It's actually a decent size.
Yeah. And it's already. So you better get there in a hurry. Better. Of course, I'll get mine. Yeah. I'll get mine free, I'm sure. But
you just show up and expect to get in.
Hey, where's Daryl? Where's my name?
It's you and Jeff Van Gundy.
Hey, what the bleep?
It's about me.
My son's a famous quarterback.
You don't have any cynical sports talk show guys on there?
Absolutely. In fact, Tamari is a cynical sports writer.
Was I the inspiration or no?
I'm taking it from you today.
Thank
I'm doing
you.
Some dramaturgy.
Kid Jerome,
no,
Solomon,
so
I kid because I love
the show
it.
Literally is in these post-game press conferences. Obviously, yeah. Other things happen, and maybe the two biggest characters outside of the Lily and Michael Jordan are the two sportscasters who are lobbing these very annoying questions at them all game from the audience.
Those very annoying questions.
Apparently, this is from a team's perspective.
Exactly.
If you
guys come, we'll give you a question.
Okay, that'd be great. Here's another question. At any point in the musical, are the director of analytics or any of those guys not allowed to be on any of the other shows, like any of the other answer questions from certain types of newspapers or anything like that? I just want to get the full scope of everything.
Yeah, there's a PR person as well handling all those dynamics. Yes, so
there's a PR person. No, not really.
Billy
Bean was played by Brad Pitt. Okay, who plays the general manager of the team on this one?
McLovin.
McLovin.
Yeah.
you're played Chris by Vince McLovin.
Platt. Chris Vince Platt. I don't think I have a role. Yeah, I was just dramaturg.
You don't have a Daryl Morey character in this thing?
Well, the wife, the queen, is the director of analytics for the team.
Oh, okay.
So we made him a lady.
All right.
My wife is super smart and logical. She was the inspiration probably for this wife of the king character. The king is not good, by the way. The king the king drinks and is like,
hey. What's by John Granato. Wait a minute, slow down. Okay, why is drinking always shit a bad name? When did this happen?
Just heavy drinking. Heavy drinking and lots of yelling and commanding people to shoot arrows at
Michael
Jordan.
Well, you say that like it's a bad thing.
Look at Dell just pointed right at you. Okay, maybe it is
a lot of yelling and drinking. What the hell? That's a good thing.
Well, it's a good run for you, Daryl. You get your first musical that you are a producer of, Small Ball. I say first, maybe we'll see more. And, of course, Rockets with the first ever 60-win season, franchise record, and we're still going 33-3 in the last 36. Of course, playoffs coming up as well. So good run for you, and we'll hopefully the musical run goes well, and hopefully we go back-to-back on sports. We're just passing over the Texans season.
Yeah. Well, we're not passing over the Texans season. We got Deshaun coming back, right?
No, but I mean back to back. I said back to back. The Texans did play.
Yeah.
Between the Rockets and Astros.
The Deshaun back plus the moves. You never know. I mean, football, anything can happen.
Hey, you're damn right, Daryl. Yeah, yeah. Thank you. Anything can happen with Deshaun on
and
the field.
And anything happens at smallballmusical.com. That's right. I gotta put on my producer hat on here. Yeah.
Look how good he is.
Rolls it right back.
You know, small ball music.
You guys have any ads you want me to read?
Rockets.com, three-year VIP package.
You want to talk about Renter's Warehouse?
Renter's Warehouse is awesome, yeah. Yeah. In fact, that's what Catastrophic got started at. The theater was basically Renter's Warehouse.
Renter's Warehouse started them?
Exactly. And now they've upgraded this amazing match center that is really an incredible venue.
That's cool. Awesome. Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
And best of luck. I don't know if you need it. I mean, you're already selling out. And after today, it'll be also.
Well, you need the reviews to be good. Trying to get that thing to the big time. Well, so I'm just saying it's not over, John.
Can we expect,
you got to play the game. You got to play the
can
game.
Can we expect a review from you?
You can.
Yeah, I want right a full break. A full draft pick breakdown.
I'm going to write it for Sports.
I'm writing a Sports Mad.
No,
so you have to come, John. You still got to get a ticket somehow.
Well, not if I'm going to review it. Do reviewers have to buy tickets? What the?
It's a tough ticket, John.
What the bleep?
If I'm going to review
it,
I will comp your ticket.
Thank you. Thank you. You see,
you want to watch you score?
I'm trying to turn a profit.
I'll just build a producer.
Now he's the owner. He's not giving away any tickets. What the hell? When Les is, hey, John, you need some tickets? Yeah, here. Les was on it, yeah.
Billion-dollar buyer. He's learned a little, business sense here.
No, yeah,
one thing I don't do is give away tickets. Boom.
Boom. How's there that? You are. So cool. Thank you for being here. We appreciate it. Daryl, thanks for stopping by. We know it's going to cost you in the long run. Everybody's going to bitch about you being in here. We appreciate it. Smallballmusical.com. Smallballmusical.com.
Smallballmusical.com. And, of course, Rockets.com for season tickets and playoff tickets.
Yeah.
There you go. We just did them both.
How about that? That's all happening right now. Let's talk about Renter's Warehouse, you and I.
Actually,
I know Daryl gave his ringing endorsement, but I think we have to.
Apparently, it used to be a real warehouse.
Yeah, right.
And
now it's a theater.
It's a metaphorical warehouse where they rent properties. And they've got so many properties that they will rent out for you. And 17 days on average is what it costs, or is what it takes to rent out a property. And when they rent property out, they'll tell you what you can expect to get from the rental property. But I can promise you this. They're usually within $100, $150 of what they quote you, and they will get your property rented. They will manage your property. And the best part is, John, it costs you one low monthly fee.
Oh, it's awesome. $99 a month. And if you get multiple properties, it's $70 a month. And that it's unbelievable how profitable that is for you. And you don't have any worries in the world because they take care of everything. What I need you to do is go to renterswarehouse.com, 713-224-RENT, 713-224-RENT. Rich Drake and his people do the best job. I don't even know that anybody else even does this, rents out their houses. But Renter's Warehouse is the best. 713-224-RENT, renterswarehouse.com.
You can now listen to all your favorite shows on the Amazon Echo.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Just say, Alexa, open ESPN 97.5.
Now playing ESPN 97.5.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
John and Lance are still out there smoozing with Daryl Morey and other. Yes, you're on, Lance. I could hear him through the door, and he asked if we're on. Hey, you want to do your show? Thank you. Let's get back on air. I know there's a famous actor out there and a GM out there, but let's get back to work.
Dell's been doing our show for us here.
Congratulations.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, I know there's a GM and a famous actor out there. Let's get back to doing our jobs.
Star effers.
He called us star effers.
Stop, all right? We were talking to Daryl.
Yeah, but there's a show to do.
And
I know.
We were talking about I don't know.
Yeah, you don't really even important. Remember what you're talking about.
We were talking about the Greek freak. Now,
not Stormy Daniels, though.
Not the other Greek freak. She's not Greek, I don't think. Stormy Andrikopoulos. That's not her. No. Yeah, no, that's a little boy, though. That's different. That's different. what they do. Anyway, yeah. There were, like you said, there were a few freaks in there in that 60 Minutes yesterday. It appears that, man, did you watch that? Did you see Giannis, that piece on
him? I saw the whole piece. I can't believe. I actually said he was such a beanpole when he got to the Bucks, like so skinny.
But what about him walking around with the dude who I forget his name? That's not the only one I know is Morley Safer, and he's dead.
Yeah. And then the guy with the eyebrows.
Yeah.
Was that Morley Safer?
No.
Yeah. The guy with the caterpillar eyes?
Yeah.
Wouldn't pitch product at the end and get pissed?
No, that's Rooney.
That was Rooney.
And we know Anderson Cooper. Yep. Right?
And Oprah pops in every once in a while.
Yeah, but this guy, you know, he's a guy that's been there forever, just don't know his name.
He's walking, he's way
My
taller.
God, he was like 3 feet taller than him. Good Lord.
That's why, but when you see guys like that, like I put a tweet out there, this is why sports franchise and especially NFL teams, like when I have to look at these guys, if you have big, long arms and you're explosive and can run and jump, what they say is just give us somebody like that, because it's the Bill Parcells theory, is there's only a certain amount of people in the whole world who have these traits, and they're the ones who are best suited to play these professional sports. When you have guys like Giannis, who was still very raw, he was averaging 9 points a league in basically a YMCA league, you know, Greek league.
Yeah.
When you have traits like that link, that explosiveness, you're going to grow into your body. And as you get coached up and this is all you work on, your physical abilities are going to start to shine and your growth pattern will be way faster than guys who don't have those rare athletic traits like he has. And I mean, to go from where he was, I mean, it's really frankly amazing he was drafted 15th. They did that just based on pure potential because there was nothing there on tape.
Daryl said he had him 7th on their board, and he said I should have had him 1 or 2 on that board.
Well, who did they have that year?
What was it?
Talking about Anthony Davis, was it?
Was that the 13 draft?
Did they have a pick?
No, they didn't have a pick. No.
Yeah.
I don't think they did.
Who doesn't have a pick is the Texans. They don't have a pick.
Two.
Yeah.
They don't have a pick. I don't know if you know or not, but no pick.
They don't have a pick.
And you know what? So on our podcast, John.
Anthony Bennett, Victor Oladipo, Otto Porter. He should have been one.
I mean, he should have been one.
He should have been one.
That's unbelievable. Is he still on a rookie deal?
Ooh.
You know, he said he's staying there, though. He can't be.
Yeah, but I don't know. Maybe the Lakers.
No, I think they've got a new deal.
Did they already extend?
Yeah,
he's only making two.
No. They said he's living in a 2-bedroom apartment, but he's not making huge money, is he?
Yes, he may be living in that apartment, but he started a new deal this year.
22 million.
Oh,
he's locked in.
They said 2. Okay, 22 million. So he's locked, but he wants to be there. He wants to be in a small place.
Yeah,
because he doesn't care about it. But man, oh man, oh man, you want to talk about? And I asked her about project. He goes, yeah. I mean, you got to project that out of a out of a YMCA league. A guy who's not even the best player on the team. He said, but in that Greek league, the coaches are so stupid. They want to play 30-year-olds. They just play 30-year-olds, and they don't play any of the young guys, and because they don't, for whatever reason.
It's an interesting story. You ask, like, how did Giannis get to Greece? Well, his parents were Nigerian. How did they talk? They fled there.
How do you think they talk?
Like a Greek person talks, I guess.
No, but if they were Nigerian, how would they talk, Lance?
Yeah.
We've got to get our sons to a place.
Why? No, but wait. They must have been born in Greece because they were given Greek names.
Yeah.
Just so they could fit in better.
Right.
Giannis and I can't remember what the other brother's name was who plays professionally.
He plays in Greece. He's on the Greek national team.
Yeah, the Greek national team.
His brother was in college this past year. He's entering the draft as well. I don't remember his name.
Oh, is he really?
Yeah, he's entering the draft. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So, he is a pretty amazing player.
That's his older brother, too.
I don't know. Yeah, he had two.
Well, he might have two, but his younger brother played at a smaller school, but he's entering the draft.
Okay, so that's a separate brother. The one we're talking about plays for the Greek national team, and he was 2 years older than Giannis.
Yeah.
Or Giannis, as your people say, John, the Greek side of your people.
Yeah, Antetokounmpo.
Yeah. How is it?
The Antetokounmpo.
Nice.
That's and David Stern really screwed it up too, by the way. When the guy
sticks around though. That was pretty cool to watch him stick around after games and go meet Greek fans.
Yeah,
at visiting arenas.
Oh, that's cool.
I mean, that's cool.
That is cool.
Yeah.
He's a pretty down to earth guy. He even said after the draft, said all these guys were going out getting drunk, partying. Me and my brother just went to the hotel and like jumped on the beds.
If he wants to stay in Milwaukee, that tells you a lot about him, you know.
Right.
he
ain't going to a lot of parties in Milwaukee.
No.
Going through that draft, we talk about what Daryl Morey would have had him ranked. There is only one other All-Star, at least in that first round. And he might not even be the second best player.
All-Star, that's
Rudy Gobert?
Has Oladipo never been an All-Star?
Oladipo went to the All-Star game this past year. And maybe Steven Adams might be your...
Yeah, that guy was... he should have been the number one.
Second best player.
Who?
Greek.
Yeah, the Greek should.
Steven Adams.
Would have been this? Gobert the second?
I'm looking at Gobert, and I don't see him on the first round. Where'd you see him?
He is later.
Yeah, he's 27. So you've got Steven Adams, Rudy Gobert, Victor Oladipo, who went to his All-Star game. People thought Indiana really lost that trade. Maybe they didn't so much. And then Giannis. Those are your... And CJ McCollum. No, not even CJ McCollum. So those are like your top four guys.
Sometimes you have drafts like that.
Sometimes. Yeah, well, Anthony Bennett's the top pick. Yes, that's a draft like that.
That was not a great one.
Didn't work out real well, did he? Did it? Okay, why don't we catch up on breaks here?
Are you going to be able to stay for an Astros segment or you got to
roll? Yeah, one more.
Because we got to hit some Astros.
Yeah, let's see. I mean, they start in a week.
What do you got to do? Your kids are in La Jolla.
I know.
You don't have anything to do?
No, I got to get to an airport to fly to...
Oh, you're going to see him.
Yeah.
I missed the flight, honey.
Sorry, babe. I was doing radio.
You got the kids for another.
Yeah, I was doing radio. My bad. You know what? Why don't you just stay there?
That's how that will work.
I'm surprised he lets you go. With a 3 and a 5-year-old, and he goes for months at a time to go shoot stuff, and he still is able to get away? You got a keeper there, okay?
Oh, she's the best.
Yeah.
Oh, tell a story about the koozie when we come back. Hey, I want to tell you about Men's Tea Clinic. So Men's Tea Clinic, you want to have an opportunity to be the very best that you can be. Well, you know, you got to be firing on all cylinders. And if your testosterone level is low, that's not going to be the case. You will deal with fatigue. You will deal with a lot of times being in a general malaise that you can't get out of. No drive anywhere in your life. Whether it could be in the bedroom, it could be at the workplace, it could be just on the weekends to go have a good time. Men's Tea Clinic is going to be that company that gets you back. They've got providers there who not only will give you the test and they'll only treat you if you're low in testosterone, they're not going to do anything unsafe, but they also go that extra mile to make sure that your levels stay where they're supposed to be. And at Men's Tea Clinic, they can get you back on the road to being the real you. Better lean muscle mass, better energy levels, better drive, better mental acuity. These are all benefits of working with Men's Tea Clinic. Go to mensteaclinic.com. There's four locations in the Houston area now. Now one in Pasadena. So you got Pasadena to go with Pearland and Cypress and right there in the Heights, mensteaclinic.com.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Eric's got one more segment in him. That's it. Okay. And then he's got to go. What time's your flight?
Flight's at 12:30. What
the bleep? It's 8:30.
I know, but I got to get home. I got to pack, you know, got to do the
You haven't packed yet.
I'm just kind of a last minute guy. Yeah, throw it in.
Hey, before we get to Astros, I want to mention, so you've been really busy, but one of the things, that, and for those who don't know Eric, you hear his voice. A lot of people know you from The Killing. You're a bad guy in The Killing. There's a Hulu show, Bosch. Is it Amazon Prime or Hulu?
I think Amazon.
It's Amazon Prime.
Yeah, Bosch.
Bosch. You've had roles on in American Sniper.
Longmire.
He's on Netflix right now, Longmire.
Longmire on Netflix.
Yeah.
You've been an American Sniper. I was just watching that just randomly. Okay, So what kind of guy was Bradley Cooper?
He's a great dude.
Is he?
Yeah, really? Bradley and I got along really well. He's a really good dude. He's very takes his job seriously, but not too seriously. Professional, worked his butt off on that job.
You know who we had on when Eric was co-hosting the show when you were out was Michael Kelly, who is Doug Stamper on House of Cards. He's good friends with Michael Kelly.
Doug Stamper was on the show.
Yeah, you were on vacation.
What the bleep?
Yeah.
No, and now all we get is Daryl Morey.
Yeah.
We could have had Doug Stamper.
You know, well, and I can bring characters. You some Ozark, and we could do like a little cable TV roundtable.
Did Kevin Spacey ever put the moves on him?
Not that I know of, but I know that that topic was off the table.
Well,
that was very off the table.
Well, he made out with the other driver. Kevin Spacey did with the
that whole storyline. You're like, man, feels like he was like, hey, I got a story I want to add in it. Let's add segment in here.
Yeah,
and let's rehearse it.
Yeah.
That's something that actors, you know, the creep actors will do too before like a makeout scene. Maybe we should go to my trailer and just kind of rehearse it, just so it's not like weird, you know, when we do it on camera.
Let's go to the trailer and rehearse. Yeah,
just rehearse it. Oh, that's a move. Yeah.
That's why people are catching hashtags.
Yep.
By the way, if any of you saw Homeland last night, they needed some rehearsal on that one. A nice sex scene. Carrie, she does everybody on the show. Are you in a home run?
Yeah, I bailed out after two seasons.
Yeah. Well, it's got good again. It's gotten good.
Okay.
Again. Yeah.
All right. Now they're shooting.
There's something that nobody ever thought of. The Russians are interfering in American turf. Yeah.
Where'd they get that?
I don't have any idea where they got that.
Yeah.
Actually, the director said they took it from what's really happening.
They must have a good dramaturg in their writer's room, you know, who's just doing research.
So right. you've got six. So you've done those American Sniper. I love that you're in Mad Men. You were January Jones's brother. You were in Big Love. You've been in a lot of different stuff. You did something I know you're really proud of. Six, which is about SEAL Team Six. Although they don't like being called SEAL Team Six.
They don't refer to themselves as that. More DevGru or the command.
So Six is season two is coming up, and you join in season two.
That's right.
That's on the History Channel. And I know it is a big production. Like,
are you a badass?
I'm a badass.
Are you really?
Yeah, yeah. A lot of chest tattoos. In fact, the entrance to my character in the pilot is one of the better character entrances I've ever had.
What do you do?
I'm having sex.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and it's good. And the girl passes out, so I put an IV in her to wake her back up. This character is a lunatic. He's a lunatic, but he's awesome. The show itself is great. I honestly, there's so many military shows right now, but this is the most technically and tactically sound television show, military television show there is.
He had to go train with SEALs, like do a little mini SEAL training.
Yeah, we do a lot of weapons training, a lot of SEAL training, physical training.
Did you have to hold the log with the other guys?
Yeah, we did. Yep. It's called log PT. Not easy. Not easy at all. No.
Logs
no. And these guys, the SEALs, because of the guys that we have as our TAs, our technical advisors on this show that are there with us every step of the way, they make us wear, you know, like on, I'd feel bad talking smack, but like, you know, when you're watching like SEAL Team CBS or you're watching, you know, other shows, they've got foam plates in, you know, the costume has like foam plates in. We're wearing real plates. So we've got 50, 60 pounds of gear on. These guys didn't let up. You know, they wanted us to really feel as much as we could like it was. Of course, between takes, you know, I'm ordering tuna melts and stuff, so it wasn't totally, but as much as we could feel like it, you know.
And then you weren't eating rice with your hands?
I wasn't eating a lot of MREs between takes. You know, I'm ordering hot cocoa and a tuna melt on a chilly day. But, you know, I got long johns on. But no, we did. We did some training. We were up in we were up in the mountains up north of Vancouver in Garibaldi. And, they threw us in the water fully clothed with all our packs, made us tread water and, you know, 50-degree water for 5 minutes and then keep hiking in the snow. So, we did some training.
So it wasn't acting. You were really, really feeling this stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, which makes it great. Yeah. I mean, as an actor, you want that. You know what I mean? It makes your job easier.
I know John well enough that I think you need, because he didn't listen to the podcast. You need to tell John and the people again, when you have a love scene, as an actor, you're offered some choices on the magical tray. Can you Can you let John know?
Yeah, this is one of Lance's favorite things about the industry. And I think that, like, he wants to get into the industry just to have this opportunity, but to be offered what we call a modesty pouch. And what a modesty pouch is, it's a flesh colored, well, they're variations of like marble sacks for you to take care of your stuff during a sex scene. And they come in all different variations. Some are, you know, like dance belts or G-strings. Others are strictly dance like belts. An old school marble sack, with just a little draw. Some have some sticky tape on the inside, and then you put it on. But that can, as you know, can go sideways in a hurry.
Taking that off, too.
Yeah.
Ow!
Yeah.
No, I don't want that.
They have options like, well, how would you like to do this scene?
Yeah.
And I even ask Eric, I'm like, is there anyone who just says, no, we're good, nothing?
He's
like, oh, yeah, it happens, too.
Oh, yeah.
Lit.
Right.
Yeah, not anymore, though.
Well,
no.
Too many hashtags.
Nope.
Well, and I've seen, there's like the clickbaits that say, oh, these are actors and actresses who really had sex in that scene.
Sure.
Does that ever happen?
Absolutely.
It does.
Yeah. I worked with a guy who actually was telling me about an actor who said that he actually did have sex, which is completely disrespectful. I mean, you have to remember, you're in front of 20, 30 people when you're doing this. I mean, these people come to work. They're not looking for, you know, to shoot sex scenes, you know. I mean, not real sex,
but it's a benefit of the job.
Well, I mean, depending on how you look
not
at it,
looks at it
not
way.
Depending on how you look at it, you know what I mean? So,
yeah,
so,
well, I'm just saying, look at my job,
right? Yeah,
yeah.
You'd be surprised. You'd be surprised. Not always the case.
John could never be in Hollywood.
No, you would
have so many hashtags.
Yeah.
Just from comments you make.
Yeah, just John Granato. Hashtag me too. Hashtag she knew. Hashtag
all that. You wouldn't even need it. Just the hashtag John Granato.
There you go. That's it.
There you go.
And it's all encompassing.
He got Granatoed.
Hashtag John
that would be
Granato.
Awesome, though. That would be awesome. So you had to give her an IV to wake her up. So why didn't you just keep doing it while she was sleeping?
I'm gonna let you watch the series. Okay. It's a really good series. That's only that's the tip of the iceberg.
Start back up.
It starts back up Memorial Day. We premiere on Memorial Day, and then episode 2 will be a couple days later on Wednesday, and then we'll run every subsequent Wednesday.
So we can just put it on Season Pass now?
Put it on Season Pass, History Channel. It's called Six, S-I-X. Season 1 is on Hulu or on iTunes. It's a really good show.
And
it's
if,
a really good
if
show.
Eric isn't enough, and you're one of those guys, who, you know, you're one of our type of people.
Text him with the
Olivia Munn joins the cast this season as well.
That's right.
If you're into...
If you're into that sort of thing,
she's there as well.
Aaron Rodgers talk on
set. Can you get Isaac Gonzalez on the show or no?
No. And there was some Aaron Rodgers talk, by the way.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We
you gave her the business?
We didn't give her the business, so to speak, but we chatted about it. I mean, as a sports fan, I kind of had to dig in a little bit. Olivia's great. She's professional.
Right. Yeah.
She's professional.
All right. 8:47 ESPN 97. Why don't you go catch a plane?
Yeah.
I mean, you have a 12:30 flight. You better hurry.
Let that man get packed.
Hey, let me get packed, you know?
And say goodbye to Grandma.
Yeah.
How's Grandma doing?
Thanks for having me. Grandma's doing great. Grandma is 95 and just kicking butt.
Cuter, Grandma or Sister Jean?
Oh, Grandma.
Grandma's way.
Oh, cuter. Yeah. She doesn't have Nike ID, but she's cute.
She does.
Grandma's bringing it.
Yeah.
Grandma's
still bringing
it. Oh, yeah. Still beauty salon every Thursday.
She does.
Yeah. Even at 95.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Hair, nails, the whole nine.
Oh, she wants to look sharp.
Oh,
I love that.
Dude, always.
Just in case there's some, you know, 100-year-old that's after, you know, comes along.
You never know. Hey, you never know.
You never know when Grandma's going to, you know, and find somebody out there. You
just
never
wants
know.
To look good.
That's all.
All right,
8:48. Hey, thanks for stopping by.
Appreciate
Eric Clayton right here on ESPN 97.5. Good stuff. Daryl Morey, Eric Layden. It's been a great show already. And it's only 8:48. I want to talk about Texas Mattress Makers, my peeps over there. Eunice and Yuval are spectacular, okay, at what they do. What they're doing is they're giving you the best product in the market. If you haven't seen the Amsterdam, pocketed coils, works great for a deep sleeper and a light sleeper, giving you a cooler, deeper sleep. You settle into a bed that's made for you. It's made specifically for you. Better than sitting courtside at a basketball game. Well, because you're going to only sit courtside once, but you're going to sleep every night on this bed, right? Custom fitted, handcrafted beds, never been more affordable. it's easier to, it's the best. Duvall and family have been making mattresses and foundations for over 30 years. You think he's any good at it? Yeah. Oh, by the way, Tillman says, yeah, Yuval, we want your bed in our hotels. And Tillman always gets the best product, and he gets it at the best price. And that's exactly what you're doing every single time at Texas Mattress Makers. If you're looking for the best beds, whatever is specifically for you, you'll lay in it for any amount of time. Did you go?
I went to the Katy location. Incredible.
Is it really?
Dude, they're best customer service.
Is it that it's unbelievable, isn't it?
It's awesome. I was like, hey, I need this. Cool. We got it. Boom, boom.
Did you lay on the bed and do all that?
We didn't have to buy a bed. We had to get the box spring for my daughter. And man, we were in and out in 10 minutes.
That's awesome.
Awesome. That great is, people.
They're the best. They really are. 502060 East 3rd Street in Katy. And then that's just exit 742 on I-10 West. And 4619 Navigation, corner Lockwood. You're looking for the best bed at the best price. It's not even arguable. It's Texas Mattress Makers.
So, you want to go out tonight but don't know where to go? Easy fix. Head over to culturemap.com for the latest social happenings going on in the city. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. John Raheel, and are you coming in now?
Well, it's I have to do early. I guess Lance is going to pay me for this last segment.
He's out talking to Eric. I mean, it's unprofessional not to start the segment when just because you're out there talking to a guest.
And he's going to talk to Eric later on this week on their podcast.
Yeah. Yeah, right. I mean, the two of them have talked like 1,000 times, but... Yeah. But I'm
there he is.
But I'm sure they had a lot of important stuff to talk about.
No, I was introducing him to Trey.
Oh,
I just feel like
now,
I have to show off Trey.
Well, that is something.
You shouldn't.
Yes.
No. No.
I have to show off Trey. He's like a little.
Has anything happened in NASCAR lately? Do we need Trey?
Yeah, they went and left.
No, but something happened with Trey's life.
What happened?
Broke up.
Oh, but that yeah, didn't that happen like when she ago. Was calling him all those ugly names?
Coward, yeah.
Yeah, and then he said, yeah, but the worst thing that happened was some dude spun out.
Yeah, that's what he said.
I was called a coward, I was called this, but the worst thing that happened all weekend was Kyle Larson spinning out on turn three. And like, wow.
That was the worst thing that happened to you.
Your girlfriend called you all these names, and that was the worst thing? Somebody spinning out?
Yeah. So,
Trey knows those hoes ain't loyal, so he's all right.
He knows.
That's just a saying.
It's just a saying. I'm not calling her one, but you know.
Oh, well, apparently you just did.
The royal hoe ain't loyal.
I don't think that's Trey would say anything like that because Trey, he respects women.
He doesn't
women.
Say stuff like that.
No, he doesn't say stuff like that. Do you say stuff like Leonard Hamilton was saying to Dana Jacobson?
Okay, so did you think, can we play the beginning of that? Do you have it, Dell? Let's play the beginning.
It was embarrassing.
So people get it in context. Dana Jacobson was asking, why didn't you foul? They were down 4, I think it was.
With 11 seconds left.
Yeah, and...
Well, it's inexplicable.
To him, he's probably just thinking, win, loss. He was just thinking...
What do you mean?
We're not going to...
What was he thinking?
The win. I don't know. I don't know.
Have you never seen anybody come back from 4 down with 11 seconds left?
Yes. Yeah, I've seen it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen it.
That was inexplicable. It was unforgivable, almost. I mean, you can't quit in the Elite Eight with 11 seconds left.
No. You should.
They were tired.
Well, unless you're Leonard Hamilton catching 4.5.
They were tired. Nah, I don't know if he would catch 4.5 because Leonard Hamilton was making like over 100K per win. So I don't know if 4.5 would have meant much to him.
Well, unless he had a couple mil on it.
Hedged it.
No. We're right.
Oh my God! Michigan's got their own older Michigan fan trying to roll with Sister Jean.
Stop it!
Oh, Sister Jean's gonna snap on her on Friday.
Oh my God!
On Friday,
Sister Jean ain't gonna be happy.
Sister Jean gave people winners this last weekend.
How about that?
On the show?
How about that?
Did she give you 3 Final Four teams like I did?
Yeah.
So
you didn't hear this, did you, Raheel?
I did.
I asked.
Dell gave him 3 winners.
Yeah.
I said, let's look at this. And Dell went down the list before the tournament started. He said Villanova, Kansas, and Michigan. He thought they all had good odds.
And am I? What's going to happen there, Lance?
Lance, so
hopefully Loyola Chicago doesn't win it.
You guys are splitting the profits, I would imagine, or
is he putting up anything? Or?
Well, no, but he gave you the picks. If not for the picks, you'd be
50%. Man, that's
did you guys
strong.
Write it in the contract? Did you guys sign it?
He didn't tell
good,
me.
Good I don't, point,
he,
Dell.
He didn't make.
I mean,
any,
good point.
Did
Rahil.
You make any mention of, hey, Dell, I'm going to use your picks for profit? Did you say that to me? No.
Well, that's on you then.
No, that's on him.
Did you send him a contract and did he well, sign
why
it
would
where
I know
it said
that, why would I know to send him a contract no. if I didn't know what he was going to do with it?
Oh, that's on you then.
D-E?
That's on
D-D.
Him.
Or E-A-D. That's what Lance put out there this weekend. E-A-D.
Well, if what? People want to cry about asterisk for the Rockets, they can E-A-D.
Mm. What?
What does that mean?
Mm.
Evolve,
eat at Denny's.
Angle. Yes. Eat at Denny's actually is much easier and quicker.
Eat at Denny's. I didn't know you were speaking
or
for
eat,
Denny's.
Yeah. Lance, when is your Denny's live start? Yeah. When do they start?
Eat at Domino's.
Domino's?
Domino's, huh? Mm-hmm.
Oh. Apparently, it's a...
Really?
I'm watching Ugly Delicious with David Chang, and he had a whole pizza episode, and he goes, I just like Domino's. Like, dude, you're one of the most renowned chefs in the world. You're not supposed to be saying you eat at Domino's. He's like, I like it.
Have you watched the Houston one yet?
The thin crust?
Yeah, it's good.
What did
he basically goes in on Louisiana for not doing Vietnamese crawfish. And I'm like, let Louisiana do that's Cajun. Why don't you leave them alone and let us? I thought David Chang was on a big soapbox. I'm told you felt that way too?
Yes. I turned it off. I couldn't finish it.
I was like, dude.
Just shut up. Just let them Vietnamese have their crawfish. Traditions. It's okay.
Yeah, it's what, okay.
Louisiana's supposed to have Vietnamese crawfish? Like, why?
Oh, why? Because there's a lot of Vietnamese there. And so? And those Vietnamese are...
He went to
Vietnam.
Yeah, I know. No,
I practically live in Louisiana. Never seen a Vietnamese person. Ever.
Really?
Really.
Well, he went to a crawfish place that was owned by a Vietnamese couple, and they're not doing Vietnamese crawfish, which is a different way of doing crawfish. Like you do a butter garlic sauce and stuff like that.
All right. So,
But they didn't do it. You know, he goes, why aren't you doing that and staying true to Vietnam? He goes, because that's not how we were born. We're raised here.
And by the way,
this is how we do crawfish.
Do you want us to stay in business? This is what these people want.
Exactly.
They basically said that.
Yeah.
They basically said that.
And you know what? You want Vietnamese crawfish? Come to Houston.
Yeah. Or,
it's okay. Everyone can have
no one in Louisiana wants Vietnamese crawfish. I thought Louisiana crawfish.
I thought he was.
It's like, stop.
Yeah, I thought it was a little
this whole crawfish thing is nonsense anyway.
Well, it's not even
yes. Forget. I don't.
I'm opening up a crawfish stand.
Pick and choose whatever you like. But this whole devotion and all this discussion about that crappy bug. Get out of here.
It's a multi-million dollar industry.
Doesn't mean it's crappy. So what? Doesn't mean it's not crappy to me.
Oh,
not
to you?
Yeah, it's overrated.
Crawfish, your crappy opinion.
Much like Texas, crawfish is overrated. Not the state, the school.
That's fine. That's
not a shot at you.
Oh,
this
really?
Is a shot at Lance.
How about the swimming title they just got?
Yeah.
I'm putting space in someone's head because if you're going to send Lance, hey, go down to suck it. We just won a swimming title. Relax. I ain't nobody thinking about you or Texas.
Why don't you save people money, Lance?
Let me tell you about Bill Advisor saving people thousands of dollars every single year. And the annual amount that they could save you, for me, they saved over $2,000. Now, I'm supposed to tell you that's not the norm, that the norm is between $800 and $900. I'm just telling you this. I know five different people who saved over $1,000. I know five personally, and one guy saved... one other guy who used to be a co-host of mine saved over $2,000 annually, and someone else saved $1,700. So, I mean, here's the thing. The longer you've been with your cable or satellite company or cell phone or home phone, or maybe you've got bundle packages, the more you're really going to save. Because the longer you're with them, the more they raise your rates, and you don't even recognize it. That's why you need Bill Advisor on your side so that they are checking into all of your bills, and they will be the ones who make sure that they get you negotiated down to new customer rates. Why should you be paying the outrageous rates when you can have new customer rates negotiated for you by Bill Advisor? For more information, go to BillAdvisor.com and find out all the bills that they can negotiate for you, or just text bills to 313131 and start the conversation today about getting your bills lowered with BillAdvisor.com. Work it out at the gym to
fit my underwear. This is DeAndre Hopkins, wide receiver for the Houston Texans, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.